I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Defense! Dominate on three! Picked off! Devin Lloyd! What a year!
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown! Trevor Lawrence rated it in!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long. Still to come, ESPN senior NFL writer Jeremy Fowler, actor Tom Pelfrey, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Week five is completely in the books. The season may be completely or close to being in the books for the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Phillies and the Chicago Cubs. We'll talk about the divisional playoff series as conditions warrant throughout the rest of this three-hour show. We've got 2 hours remaining in it. Tom Pelfrey, the actor from the terrific show on HBO Max called Task, is a Giants fan. He's coming in studio. He's been here before. Some of you may know his work from Ozark as well. He's a fantastic actor. And maybe a friend of the program. Should we call him that right now?
I think we have to.
Very good. Yeah. He'll be in studio hour number three. I've got a top five list. Top five wildest plays of week five. And there are many from which to choose. That's coming up later on. So is my take on what to make of the Chiefs being 2-3. We started the show giving the flowers to the Jacksonville Jaguars for their final second one possession game win to make them 4-1, tying the Indianapolis Colts atop the division. In the AFC South through 5 weeks. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Joining us here now on the Rich Eisen Show once again, but the first time since we've been with our friends at Disney, is ESPN's Jeremy Fowler with all the information we need. The senior national NFL reporter is here. Good to see you. How are you, Jeremy?
Rich, thanks for having me, man. Great to be with you.
Thanks for being with us. So let's just start with the Ravens at 1-4. What do you think is going on in that building? What can you tell us about this start for the Ravens right now, Jeremy?
Yeah, the panic meter is rising a little bit because, Rich, I can tell you, going into this or last week against the Texans, just talking to people there, they felt like that was going to be a get-right game for them. They were legitimately shocked with what happened despite Lamar Jackson being out. They felt like they were going to get back to team complimentary ball, playing like a Raven, playing with an edge. They felt like they could help Cooper Rush by running the ball with Derrick Henry. And then suddenly none of that happened. And so I do think there's a shock in the building that has to sort of wear off quickly. And they're trying to navigate this thing. Like, look, when Lamar Jackson's in the game in the regular season, he wins like 72% of the time. So if they can get him back, and I know he's rehabbing, he's been working in the pool, trying to loosen up that hamstring, and everything looks good behind the scenes. He's got to get back on the practice field this week. But if he's out there, they're always going to have a chance to win. But you know, they were kind of hoping him being gone would be a chance for them to sort of galvanize themselves and play like a complete game. And now, you know, you're looking at 177 points you've given up in five games on defense. That's the worst clip in a five-game stretch in Ravens history, dating back to 1996. And so right now the season's slipping away in a hurry, and I don't know what solutions they feel like they can find right now.
Well, I mean, just getting whatever, I guess, voodoo doll that keeps sticking pins in their players, maybe that would be the solve. I'll be honest. I understand that, you know, coaches love their roster and their players and it's next man up mentality, but I'm a little surprised that there was a feeling that they could compete with the Texans on offense with Lamar out, and then their defense being as banged up as they are What can you tell us about the preparedness of these guys to get back on the field on defense? That to me is, you know, if Lamar's in the pool and he's trying to get things, you know, loosened up, there's a bye the next week. Yeah. So maybe you give Cooper Rush one more shot, but the defensive side of the ball is decimated, Jeremy.
Yeah, and I think the issue they're having on defense, it's not just personnel, even though they're not getting enough out of it. It's not just the injuries. They just feel like they're not playing with an edge. You know, Zach Orr, defensive coordinator, and it hasn't gone well in his second year. It really didn't go well the first year, although they were able to rebound. They felt like he was always, as a player and a young coach, somebody who had a serious edge to him, a fire. You know, I look at Jacksonville, the way they played last night. They gave up yards, but they played with an edge, and that eventually led to a turnover. Baltimore is just a little lifeless right now. They know it, and they're trying to work their way out of it. It's going to take some of the leaders on that side of the ball, at least some of the leaders that are healthy, to try to get something out of it. You know, pass rush, they're not getting much. They need to kind of start there, be able to dictate terms at the line of scrimmage and just try to find a spark. But, you know, right now, like, they're trying to plug whatever holes they can. You know, they bring Jaire Alexander in at cornerback, Kyle Van Noy back on the pass rush, but you know, they just don't have anything to catalyze them right now, and they feel like the energy is gone. And I think that's part of the focus right now, is just trying to get that back. And then if they lose, they lose, but they at least have to play the way they have in the past.
Okay, so before we move on, Lamar's in the pool trying to get things loosened up for this week. It's possible he could return before the bye, you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, just talking to people there, that they say it's possible. They really don't know yet. They're going to play this out and see if he can get on the practice field. But, you know, as was relayed to me from a source there, he's not going to be out there unless he can be himself. You know, he's not going to be out there 50% just trying to throw the ball from the pocket. He's got to be able to operate as his normal dual threat self. That does take time. And as you see, Rich, I mean, a third of the league injuries are hamstrings right now. It's like an epidemic in the league. And when you get them, it's usually at least 2 weeks in most cases. So if we're going by that, he might need that bye week to get right. And then you're looking at either Cooper Rush, or the Ravens are at least entertaining bringing back Snoop Huntley, who's on the practice squad, elevating him. And he can try to maybe get some of that Pro Bowl magic he had a few years ago. But right now, this is a team that is searching in a big way.
All right. I mean, you just opened the door a little bit. I don't know if there's any information that you've gleaned on this front, Jeremy Fowler, but you mentioned an epidemic of hamstring injuries. I'm getting questions from all different parts of my life, within my own house, from Sue's, my wife and guest host of this program on Thursday, to fans online. Are there more injuries this year than before, or are we just seeing bigger, bolder names getting hurt, quarterbacks getting hurt? Is there something going on that we're not aware of, Jeremy, or talking about?
You know, I don't think there's any sort of secret sauce there for the injury uptick. It does feel that way. I feel like every few years is worse than others, where you just get an avalanche of star players that go out. This year is pretty bad. I mean, there's no doubt. And you saw it a couple weeks ago when five backup quarterbacks had to play in week four, or whatever it was. You know, like, it's not a good trend. We're going to probably have another 60 quarterbacks play this year because of injury and benchings and all that. And if you talk to coaches, you talk to teams, they typically say the same thing, that this is an accumulation of the lack of true training camps, where back in the day you had two-a-days. You know, your body would get callous to all the contact. You just don't have as much of that because of what happened with the CBA 15 years ago. There's been less contact, less practice time. And, you know, most people I talk to around the league believe that that has had an effect on injuries, and that you kind of have to live with that, you know. And that was a concession that the owners were willing to give up in exchange for more money, essentially. And so this is what you get. You get star players going out with injuries that you really didn't have 20, 30 years ago. Now, these athletes are more explosive than ever. I think that's why you get hamstrings and, you know, you get calf issues and some of that. And then teams have more data, so they know if a player has a calf strain, you don't want that to lead to an Achilles, so you got to sit him down for a couple weeks sometimes. So I think it's preventative as well, and that leads to guys being on the bench more than they would have a decade ago.
Jeremy Fowler here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Bengals head coach Zach Taylor made it seem like the door was open to changing personnel at the quarterback spot. He talked about it in general, about we're going to look at everything personnel. What is going on in the front office of the Bengals, do you think, about the quarterback waiting for Jake Browning of 2 years ago to show up this year?
So, yeah, I've been checking around on this, Rich. I've checked with some teams that have quarterbacks that maybe could be in the trade market, or, you know, a veteran who's not playing. You know, the Giants come to mind. I don't think the Bengals are working the phones a lot right now at this moment. That could certainly change. It's not the Bengals style to make a big trade, particularly at a quarterback spot. It's hard to make an in-season quarterback trade because you have schemes and you have a lot of planning that goes into a quarterback getting on the field. So right now they have released Mike White off the practice squad. They could backfill with a quarterback to put on the practice squad that they could develop. You know, there's some free agents out there like Kyle Trask, who's with the Bucks, Taylor Heinicke. Otherwise, there's not a lot out there, Rich. You know, you can look into Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson, but that's it's hard to ask them to come in on a Tuesday, week six, and start a game. So as of now, I know that, you know, Jake Browning, last I checked, had not heard anything definitive on what's going to happen here. So everybody's sort of moving forward. It wouldn't shock me if he got one more week. We'll see. However, I could be wrong, because most of the time, as you know, when a head coach leaves the door open, he makes the change that week. So we'll see. It just, I don't see a clear solution right now for the Bengals in another direction at this moment.
What about Jameis? I mean, he's a third stringer. He's sitting there not dressing. And he's, you know, he is definitely prepared. And listen, man, I'm with you. It's tough to just learn a new playbook and get out there and play quarterback. I mean, Baker Mayfield did it on a two-day stint for the Rams and won a Thursday night football game. I mean, it's kind of see ball, throw ball sometimes. You know, obviously, I'm oversimplifying, but why not that as a possibility? I mean, that's not a big trade either, right? It's just some sort of a draft compensation that you slide based on what he does before Burrow can come back, if at all.
Yeah, if you want to get Jameis Winston, Rich, it's not going to cost you a third or a fourth round pick. You can do a late pick swap. I mean, you see a lot of these deals right now, they're sort of inconsequential. So if you want Jameis, you can get Jameis. And Jameis is going to get you yards. Jameis is going to get you three touchdowns. He's going to get you two interceptions, maybe three. But at least you're going to score a little bit. And right now the Bengals can't do that. I will add, we talk about shock with the Ravens. There's equal shock in the Bengals building, because they really felt going into, what was it, week three, when Jake Browning first started to take over for Joe Burrow when he got hurt, that, like, this is a guy who's probably somewhere in the top 32 to 35 quarterbacks. They really did believe that. He's incredibly smart, incredibly well-prepared. They're sort of shocked at what happened, too. And, you know, he just simply hasn't played well. A little bit of an uptick late in that Detroit game, but it was already out of hand. So not a lot of encouragement there. I think if they go back to him, it's simply for one more week. You know, but Cincinnati's not, they do things differently over there. They just don't make trades just to make them. They don't pay players just because they're worth a lot. You know, like they do things in their own style. And that, to me, that style would signal that they sort of stay put, maybe add a practice squad quarterback that's either a free agent or on another practice squad with another team and go from there. But I would be all for the Jameis Cincinnati experience starting this week for sure.
Jeremy Fowler here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Mike McDaniel's hot seat. Is it hot? Is something going down there at 1-4, Jeremy?
Well, it's moderately hot, I would say. I really think that ownership there likes Mike McDaniel a lot, and this is not something where they're looking for an excuse to move on from him right now. So, you know, I don't expect anything at this moment, this week. And, you know, I feel like they want to give him a little bit of time, but there are a lot of factors that go into that kind of situation. One of which is, you know, is your team getting better? Is it lifeless? Are seats in the stands in Miami Gardens empty? You know, those are factors that could go on. If they have some home games that are pretty ugly and the fans start to turn on the team, that's when Stephen Ross could make a move. You know, my understanding is Stephen Ross has his sons involved in the process. You know, so they could be a factor here in sort of the future of Miami and what they do. And, you know, it's interesting with McDaniel. I believe if he doesn't still have a winning record, he's still got something close to it or around 500. Like, it's been respectable. But he's been given a team whose roster is in transition. I mean, the defense clearly lost a lot of key players that they felt would be good to move on from for the locker room's sake, but they backfilled them with players that weren't as talented. So they're not working with a team that's ready-made to win right now, at least on that side of the ball. And then you lose Tyreek Hill. So, you know, to shoot Mike McDaniel a little bail, you know, he's got a quarterback that can't really take a lot of hits, if at all, because of the concussion history. So there's some limitations he's working with. You could tell McDaniel was really deflated by that Carolina loss. Mm-hmm. It just looked from him walking off the field, the demeanor after the game, that they really needed that one, knowing the schedule is going to get only harder from here. So certainly he's on the short list of changes that could be made for head coaches, but I don't expect anything like right now in the short term.
And last one for you, Jeremy. Brock Purdy not seen during the media portion of practice Monday. Not usually there's a lot of practices on Monday, but the Niners are on a short week. Do you think it's going to be Purdy? It's going to be Mac Jones again at Tampa. What a big game this is in week number 6, Jeremy.
Well, they're going to see how the week progresses. He's going to have to be able to get on the practice field, not only perform in practice, but protect himself. You know, that he was able to do that 2 weeks ago. And then just watching that last game he was in a Sunday and a half ago, and then talking to the Rams coaches as they were preparing for their game last Thursday night, they said, like, he's just not ready. He doesn't look right. He doesn't look healthy. That's kind of what I go back to when I think about this week. You know, he might just need more time here. And so certainly it feels on the table that Mac Jones could get another shot, but it's really early in the week. So if Brock can make progress by Thursday or Friday, maybe be a limited or even a full participant in practice, that changes the story. I do expect him to be the guy when he's healthy. I don't think there's any sort of conspiracy theory here, but certainly the 49ers are really comfortable with Mac Jones, who is yet again, Rich, like the fifth or sixth reclamation QB project we've seen to great success. Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, you know, Geno Smith is struggling now, but the last couple of years in Seattle, like, we're seeing these guys, you know, confidence and belief is a funny thing. And good coaching, you know, if you go to the right place, you can have success. And we're seeing that with Mac Jones, who really looks like kind of a starting caliber quarterback right now.
Jeremy, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Look for more of my calls as we matriculate.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Rich.
You got a senior national NFL reporter from ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Boy, there's lots cooking. Apparently, just as we are leaving with Jeremy, there is a trade. The Bengals have actually made a move, and it's kind of surprising who they made a move for and where they got him from. And we've got Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, so let's take a break. I still have my opinion on what I think of the Chiefs moving forward. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Don't go anywhere. We're back with breaking news and more right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, one big happy simulcast family. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Take the next step forward in your career with great benefits and an award-winning workplace. Apply at careers.progressive.com. Make sure you do that today. Why don't you get Progressive and apply at careers.progressive.com for this particular instance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So these things happen when you're talking with an information reporter about something, and then something breaks as you're talking to that individual, and you find out after you hang up with that individual. That just happened with Jeremy Fowler, and I talked with him about the possibility of the Bengals getting Jameis Winston. They did not just acquire Jameis Winston. There's breaking news. Go ahead and hit
it. Here it comes.
Oh, and Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
All right, Chris Brockman, what do you have over there about what the Bengals just did to deal with their quarterback situation of Jake Browning not performing like the Jake Browning of a couple years ago, with Burrow being down for the foreseeable future? What do you have over
there? Yes, so according to the information man, Ian Rappaport, Tom Pelissero, Adam Schefter, the Browns are trading Joe Flacco and a sixth-round pick to the Bengals for a fifth rounder. Joe Flacco in division. Now Cincinnati's QB.
Okay, so let's lay all this out in terms of you can't make this up. So if you had told us collectively, not the Royal, us collectively, 5 weeks ago, that Dylan Gabriel would be the week five starter for the Cleveland Browns. We'd have been like, okay, we see that.
That's possible.
Okay. Could we have seen the fact that Joe Burrow getting hurt for the rest of the, for a large part of the regular season? While we've heard, it's not something you want to hear.
Right.
Okay.
It happened.
And the fact, though, that the guy that filled in for Burrow quite capably 2 years ago would do something to the bed so significantly that the Bengals would reach out in week six for a quarterback, and it would be Joe Flacco.
In state, too.
In state. That's one
in
thing.
In division.
But in division, in state.
And he's hasn't looked great either.
And that's the guy that they're bringing in. And at least, you know, he's 40, so it'll be quick to get him up to speed. It's not like he's been in a million different playbooks in his life.
Also be quick to break a hip.
Whoa.
Well, I see.
I mean, and in between, Shedeur Sanders would be in the news as a third string quarterback because he thinks, or he has said, that he's ready to the point where he's better than current starting quarterbacks in the NFL, talking things into existence and speaking his mind and showing off his confidence. And then, for whatever his reasoning, deciding to listen to Rex Ryan and respond to him through miming. And the Browns decide to now have a quarterback room with two rookie quarterbacks and no veteran presence that's currently active on their roster as we are speaking to a microphone right now. If you had told us all of this prior to the season in week five, you'd be like, this is crazy, but it's the NFL. You never know. And that's what's happening right now. So let's take the Bengals part of it, which is, again, they weren't going to go ahead and get somebody like Kirk Cousins, who costs a lot of money now and is on the hook to be paid something more than 1 cent for next year's services, when Joe Burrow has an injury that he could come back earlier this year, which lends credence again as to why we have this drop anytime the Bengals decide to pay anybody in the National Football League. So they weren't going ahead and rip open their Velcro wallet and spend a lot more than obviously a fifth round draft choice for Cousins. That wasn't going to happen. The Jameis thing, man,
is right there.
I don't know if the Giants could easily be like, no, we see teams down, like for a split second, the Vikings were down to their third string quarterback, the first team to be such. Max Brosmer season almost hit in London for a split second, so but Wentz came back and finished that game. And so we'll see. The Bengals now having Joe Flacco on their roster. And I don't know. Will they be able to get it? Will he be up to speed to go visit Green Bay? Like, hey, Joe, welcome to the team. That's Micah. You know, kind of avoid him. That's Rashawn. Definitely Micah. Avoid him, too. You know, here's a playbook. Will he be able to, or is it going to be Jake Browning going out there?
I don't know, man. All due respect to Jake, but how do you trot him back out there?
I don't know, because there's Brett Rippon there as well. And how quickly can he go? Can his first game be home against Pittsburgh on the Thursday nighter to kick off week seven?
That seems more likely, right?
Before a
revenge game.
Revenge game against the Jets.
Ryan. This season is all about revenge games.
Everybody in the AFC North, you get a revenge game against the Jets. You get a revenge game against the Jets.
Avenge me.
He gets to play Baltimore again. I mean
follow me.
One for Pittsburgh, one for Cincinnati. I mean, can Cleveland like acquire Ray Lucas in time? Oh. I don't know who else we can get. Is Browning Nagel out there?
Vinny?
Hey, let's give a comeback player of the year to him. Hey, let's get as many revenge games of people with repaired Achilles as you can possibly get. Let's get Testaverde. Not a bad idea. All right, let's stay on target here. So that's my take on the Bengals side of things. That things have just been so difficult for them to keep moving forward with Jake Browning. Again, he won 4 of 7 starts in place of Burrow and was lighting it up. And now, by the way,
I'm not letting this go.
No, I'm just telling you my take that Jake Browning is not so bad that the Bengals season is over has now led to Joe Flacco being acquired by the Browns, officially making this my worst take since I've returned to Disney and ESPN. So, what's up?
You got the bad one out of the way earlier.
I got it
out of the way. Now we can.
I don't know. Maybe Jake Browning lights it up against the Packers, and we have a new quarterback controversy in Cincinnati. All right, I'm going to give it up.
You got to move on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt Ryan.
Now then, as for the Browns.
What are they doing?
Ornament, what are they doing?
What are they doing?
What are they doing?
Here's what they're doing. Honestly, hold on. Let's take it one at a time here. They're starting Dylan Gabriel this week.
Right.
Okay. Dylan Gabriel is going to get a start this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are coming off of their bye at 3-1. And he's going to go to Pittsburgh, and he's going to see TJ Watt, and he's going to see Cam Hayward, and he's going to see that defense coming off a full week of rest. And good luck, sir.
Mike Tomlin, 14-4 off a bye.
Okay. So going to be an interesting start. Now, the question is, who's the second string quarterback there? Who's going to, and you could basically say it's going to be a rookie backing up a rookie. Damn. But let's see, because sitting on their practice squad is a guy that the NFL can't quit. It's Bailey Zappi.
Zappi!
It's Zappi time.
We just talked about him yesterday.
Come on and get Zappi.
Come on,
Zappi.
The next quarterback.
Shiny Zappi people. In Cleveland. Eat what?
Because I'm Zappy.
Sunday, Monday, Zappi days.
Wow.
Clap along. Okay.
Get Zappi. All right, wait, let's stop.
Zappi. But, I'm
what crazy is, things have happened. We all know. Happening? We've seen Bailey Zappi can perform in this league.
Brockman's favorite.
And so is it possible there's another microphone that's going to be put in front of Shedeur Sanders to talk about your still third string?
What if he just does like this?
Which nobody ever does in our league. But will he possibly, or wait for it, he will back up and he's going to get some run. Or wait for it. If you look at their depth chart, listed at 4th on the depth chart is Deshaun Watson.
Yes, that's the thing.
Who you're seeing every now and then on a practice field. You know, is it possible his Achilles is rehabbed enough that he could get some run this season? Because he's still on the roster. And he's still being paid next year a gajillion and a half dollars. Don't forget the half. It's fully guaranteed. Is that what's happening? They also have 2 first rounders next year, although nobody in college football right now is balling out to the point where there's your first overall pick next year. And the Browns are 1-4. And I don't know. It kind of feels like they're just... There's got to be a plan. Let's see who we have here. And then if it goes south, it goes south. And we're, you know, we could pick the first 2 overall picks in next year's draft. You know? By moving up. Because Jacksonville's first rounder is getting lower and lower down the chart with each passing week right now. Wow.
I can't believe that just happened.
That just happened. React to us. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. So Dylan Gabriel is going to start against the Steelers. I've never ever said these words before, and this is our first day of our 12th year, right? And we turned 11 yesterday. Have I ever said, can't wait to see the depth chart come out for the Cleveland Browns?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is it going to be, hey, kid, you're not ready yet, Shador, you're not ready yet. It's Bailey Zappe who's going to back up Dylan Gabriel against the Steelers, who, as we all know, can get the second string quarterback in pretty fast. And or could it be Shador getting some run? And at some point, if it goes south to the point where Dylan Gabriel's not the answer or Zappe ain't worth the try, maybe just maybe you give Shador Sanders a start. And I went on a register, but maybe just maybe you do something like that and see how it goes.
Why not?
Why not indeed? Well, okay. Cleveland Browns have entered the chat with the Bengals on a quarterback situation because Burrow gets hurt and Flacco gets benched. And they send Flacco to Cincinnati because Jake Browning makes me say things into a microphone that I'm regretting.
Here, coach.
Thank you.
Someone on Twitter asks us if Joe Flacco can say no to this deal.
Why would he? That makes no sense, by the way.
Well, the quote was the O-line will have him.
Guess what? Maybe, listen.
He's going to start.
Come on now. Flacco, why would Flacco's going to sit there and back up in Cleveland where they're 1-4 or go to Cincinnati and play potentially meaningful games? That's Jamar Chase and that's T. Higgins. Come on now.
Can Joe win comeback player of the year again?
Yes, why not? Coming back from the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Last time he came back from the couch.
Correct.
Yeah. And this time he's coming back from the Browns.
Sold. Sold. This could be great.
Let's check his odds.
You can't come back from being benched in a season and then traded. That's not the purpose of it.
I don't think
so. You shouldn't have won it a couple years ago. That's not the purpose of it either. You can't come back from a bench or anonymity. You come back from injury.
What if Flacco goes on like a 12-game win streak?
Oh, yeah. That's the point of the award.
What if Flacco wins out?
You're rewarding somebody for rehabbing and doing so well that you tip the cap to them with a piece of hardware.
Burrow even play again if Flacco wins out?
Oh, great.
He could win comeback player of the year award then.
There you go.
Joe Flacco goes 12-0, wins comeback player of the year and MVP.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go. We're back.
Let's take a break. Phone lines are lit. Tom Pelfrey's coming in, and we got Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show. The podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show simulcast. As you know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. That's why I'm proud to talk about Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund the life-saving pediatric cancer research together with over 850 dealers nationwide. They have raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more about this terrific and necessary program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back here on Progressive on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get to it. It's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there? Let's hit it.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We're great.
Happy Tuesday. Great to see you. You know who's doing great? Everyone in Duval. The Jaguars will be battling for the AFC one seed into December.
Duval.
I don't think that's an overreaction. I mean, you kind of hooked me in with the rational point of into December. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to keep this going.
I don't, you know, unless there's a massive change or there's an ability to scheme against them by offenses to hold on to the football against a team that has just been lights out taking the ball away and being aggressive. And one would think offensively, Brian Thomas is going to start to get his, and Travis Hunter's going to start getting his, and there's going to be more of the offense matching the defense. I dig it. I don't think that's an overreaction. They have the horses. They seem healthy. Although Strange left last night's game, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that statement at all.
Chris? Speaking of horses.
Okay.
The Broncos are going to win the AFC West.
I don't think that's an overreaction either. When you look at the fact that the Chiefs can't seem to play consistently enough. I mean, that's what a 500 team looks like, is they play up, then they play down. Do that within the same game. The Chiefs can absolutely turn this thing around and win the division. I mean, the last time they were 2-3, they wound up finishing 12-5 and made it to the AFC Championship game at home, and that was the year they lost to Burrow. So I'm not discounting them at all. But the Chargers are down to running back 3 and tackles 4-5 for at least the next month. So, and the Raiders have not shown any ability to play at all like week 1 through weeks 2-5. So there's no reason why the Broncos can't win the AFC West and aren't a contender to do so, if not the favorite at this point. That's not an overreaction either. Look at you.
Look at us.
2-for-2 to start.
Oh, man, let's.
TJ, wouldn't you agree with that?
Let's stay hot.
I'm going to roll with you on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Let's stay hot. My man, Drake May is going to be the MVP conversation by the end of this month.
All right. Now,
put up the Patriots schedule. They're going to win all. They're going to win.
Assuming they're just now they're just going to be a consistent veteran team that just plays the same way year in, week in and week out.
Their next three games, the teams have 3 wins. So they win all of those. Suddenly it's like, well, Drake May. Here we go.
I got it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying by the end of this month, people are going to be like, well, Drake May, outside MVP.
Well, I saw a higher register MVP.
MVP conversation.
Baker, Goff,
Dak.
Dak is in that conversation. And so we'll start throwing Drake May into that conversation.
But the Patriots are going to be 6-2. Yeah, he's going to be in that conversation.
I love the kid. I've been talking him up. I've been talking about this kid and this team for the last 2-3 weeks.
You guys need to get on board.
Okay. I'm not going to give any fuel to your mass hole fire over there.
I know what we're doing.
Okay.
I know what we're doing.
What else?
Someone on that we're talking about, can Joe Flacco win comeback player of the year? Yeah. The Colts actually probably have the comeback player of the year, Danny Dimes.
No,
someone on the Colts is winning an end of the season award. Someone.
Oh, okay.
So anyone
sure.
on the team.
I'm talking about Danny Dimes. I'm talking about Shane Steichen.
Daniel Jones
Jonathan
is
Taylor.
Not a comeback player of the year. You cannot come back from inefficiency and being cut. That's not what the award is for. It shouldn't ever have been about it. Let's
he was
stop
injured,
it.
Right? With the Giants?
Talk about
Wasn't
him
he injured with the Giants?
You want to talk about him for MVP? Now, that's a different story.
He has the 4th best odds for comeback player of the year.
Yeah. But makes from comeback from what?
Didn't he,
from
the Giants? He hurt on the Giants last year?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, DeVito played.
He was on the Vikings, wasn't he?
He got cut, guys. I called his game in Germany. He hands off to Tyrone Tracy in overtime. Tracy fumbles it. They lose, and the only reason why they forced overtime or had to is he caught fire in the 4th quarter because he was so bad in the first 3 quarters.
So he got cut. He's come back.
No, he's not coming back from being. You can't come back. That's not what the award should be for. Enough's enough with that. There are enough people who are get hurt and rehab and come back. All right. And the offensive player of the year for Jonathan Taylor, as you know, that's the MVP running back award.
Yeah. That's what they just should call it.
The MVP running back award.
The MVP should just be best quarterback
that's
award.
It.
Yeah.
That's it. Then maybe a running back breaks through and says, you know what? You did it. You did well enough. You should continue.
Higher register.
Exactly.
You that's went what higher it's for. Than a draft butt on that.
All right. What
McCaffrey
else you got?
And Saquon should have been back-to-back MVPs.
And saying. You know what? Hey, you might have a point there.
We talk about
McCaffrey could be comeback player of the year.
Oh, yeah. He was hurt.
He was.
He's balling.
Yeah, he's got the 2nd best odds.
Who's got the best odds?
Dak, actually.
Oh, there you give go. It to him.
Because Dak was hurt last year,
that's
wasn't
right.
he?
Oh, yeah, everything was messed up.
All right.
You got to be hurt to get that?
Are you not paying attention?
Good Lord. Just work your faders and move on.
Wait, he literally
what
just
else
gave
you
an
have over there?
Speech.
I'm Mike. This Rich's job.
No, he's not.
Yes,
the lead is wide open.
You're trying to come back from your gaff.
Did you say get?
I did.
This is weird.
Look at us.
See, I don't like you.
It's like the 3rd time today.
I'm
this
with
is
you, Chris.
We need to reel this in, Mike.
We did the same REM reference for Berman nickname as well.
Yeah.
All right.
orange crush.
Maybe we are tighter than I thought.
You guys
we
going
were.
Out to lunch?
Stop it.
What's going on?
What else?
No divisions getting more than two playoff teams.
I don't. I'm going to go NFC West. I'm going to go NFC West as a chance for three. Ooh. And how about this sneaky three team division, AFC South?
Texans, sneaky.
Texans come back. Yeah, they're only 2-3 for a wild card spot. That's not bad.
They played great last year.
I'm not just saying. AFC South, sneaky three team division.
Is she picking the Titans to get on fire? Is that it?
Okay. What else?
All right, hear me out. A lot of blowouts this year. You guys notice this?
I have. Certainly playing the Colts.
Yeah, not great. Not great for TV watching either. The NFL should institute running time for any game that has a 30-point differential.
Dude, I like this. Stop it.
Running time. Like it's 30 points. Yeah. You're not coming back. Let's run the clock. Yep. Let's get this game over with.
The NFL does that in the second half.
This
I like
game
that.
Oh, let's keep it moving, like it. Man.
This isn't
keep
youth
it moving.
Sports where we need this thing to get going because we got another kid to pick up across town.
Well, it sure looks like youth sports. Some of the way these teams are playing, getting their asses kicked.
Get out of
let's
here.
Keep this thing moving.
Football.
Keep it moving.
The injuries we could save, right? Think about the injuries that happened in the last minute of a game.
So then a couple years ago when the Vikings came back on the Colts on NFL Network on that Saturday.
We just had was that a 30-point differential?
It sure was.
Great. So one game out of 2,000.
All right. Enough. Onward. What else you got over there?
You don't like that?
No, I don't like it. Have you picked up on that vibe?
Why wouldn't you like it?
Have you vibe checked
you like one? You don't like to sit around and waste time. So yeah, why you wouldn't don't. You like you really this?
Don't. What else?
Wow. Did Roger Goodell just text you and say, wow. Keep it moving?
My phone is out of my pocket. I wouldn't know if RG1 hit me on my hip.
All right, let's talk a little baseball. It feels like the Dodgers are about to go on a late 90s Yankees run.
Yeah, I know. I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
It feels kind of sucks, actually.
Nah, why? I don't know. I mean,
we're in town.
We're on ESPN.
How does it help us?
We're on ESPN 710 here locally in Los Angeles.
So Tony rolling through here.
There's a lot of people that might disagree with you with their Dodger car flags out there right now.
Oh, is it car flag season?
Last night, Phillies fans are going nuts right now about Rob Thompson deciding to bunt with a guy on second in the ninth inning and just trying to bunt him over to third and get him on third base so they could just get a productive out to tie the game. And guess what? Max Muncy was all over the bunt, and guess who was right there at third base, rightfully so, to make the play? Mookie Betts. They're just really good. Yeah, they're great everywhere. Freddie Freeman with an incredible scoop at first base.
Yeah.
He's the one who also started the rally with a double. They're incredible. They're incredible.
Phillies were the World Series favorites.
Huh?
The Phillies were the favorites to win the whole thing.
But the
Dodgers are about to get swept.
And the Dodgers are now using starters as their relievers. Yeah. And because they also, Roberts is smart enough to go, well, we played two games in 4 days, so let's just empty the case and try and get up 2-0 to go back home. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. You got one more?
I think we need one. You're a little undeniable.
We're good. And the crowd is cheering, too, for some reason.
I know it's not hoop season yet, but did you see this Shams report this morning?
Which was what?
The Knicks should have blown it all up for Giannis last month. In August, Giannis said the only team he would be willing to go to was the Knicks.
Okay.
Trade talks fell apart. Knicks blew it. Should have went for Giannis hard.
Good to know, man.
You gotta.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You gotta do it.
It's Giannis. It's Giannis.
Do we know who did the Knicks have to give up?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
They should have gave up Cat, the Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty.
This guy.
If they everything.
Gave up Brunson, that wouldn't have went over.
You could have went with Brunson, Giannis, and everybody else.
No, I think the question is Giannis would consider leaving the Bucks. That's the news. That he actually is thinking about it.
Well, you know, his family apparently moved to Athens.
Ohio? Maybe he's going to be a calf.
No.
Hour three coming up.
Athens, Georgia.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.